And I truly believe that you can, there's so many different kinds of people that can be successful in this business.
That's true.
But I think if you really care about the people you're serving, you might last a little longer and get a little bit more satisfaction out of this line of work.
Welcome to Real Estate Success Partner. We're your hosts, Devin Dubuque,
David Wynn,
and we're here to talk about how to have great success in every market. Hey, today, guys and gals, we've got two great guests. The first one's a returning guest, Clint Ritchie of the Ritchie Mortgage Team at Quicken Close Mortgage. And Clint, who'd you bring along today?
Man, I've got the special privilege of introducing Colleen Lawler, who's coming to us from St. Louis, Missouri, and the surrounding areas, and she's been in the business a long time, a wonderful professional, does a tremendous amount of business. I mean, just a joy to talk to. And so I'm excited to have her on board.
I'm excited, too. I've seen your report card, and you're doing some great things out there in St. Louis. So welcome to the show, Colleen.
Hey, it's really nice to be here. How are y'all today?
We're doing great. We're doing absolutely fantastic. So St. Louis, Missouri, are you from St. Louis originally?
I am born and bred about 40 miles west of St. Louis. I grew up on, my parents originally were in downtown in a German part of St. Louis. And from there, I ended up doing Green Acres with my family.
Oh, wow.
And we lived on 160 acres. And my dad was a CPA and came all the way back into town to work every day.
John, so, cue the Green Acres music there. We got to do it now.
I mean, it was great. My mom used to say that Ken Hardy doesn't know how to fix a fence. He thinks a Band-Aid and a thumbtack are going to hold that fence up, because we were chasing horses and cows and we didn't know what we were doing. But it was a wonderful way to grow up.
That's awesome.
So after that, I moved right back into St. Louis County. And I've been here for, almost 50 years, I guess.
There's no way, because you're not 50, so that's impossible.
I know.
Some reverse math there. I don't know how this is working. She's a magician, folks. But Colleen, so moved back into St. Louis and, finished school. Did you jump right into real estate?
No, I was actually a nurse. I graduated from St. Louis U and I worked for about 10 years and we were just going to move. And I really like to know what I'm doing when I do it, like some of my clients, I find. But so I went and took a real estate course at the local community college. I didn't even know I had to take a test at the end of it. I didn't know I had to give my license to somebody after it, but I called up Gundaker Realtors because they were the biggest folks in town and said, hey, does anybody want my license? And they went, oh, yeah, come on over here and talk to Carol. So a wonderful lady, Carol Molina, was my mentor. And within about 9 months, I realized that I still had crummy hours. I was used to that working at a hospital.
Yeah.
And real estate has those weekends and late nights sometimes. So that was about the same. But I realized I could have just as much fun and serve people doing real estate and maybe make a little bit more money. It was kind of very early on I learned it's the same skill set. A nurse is multitasking. They're dealing with doctors and x-ray and lab and people that are stressed out because they're
That's
sick,
right?
Absolutely. So people that are moving, they're pretty stressed out too.
Yeah.
And I've got lenders and inspectors and other agents. So it's the same thing, only different. And I've really enjoyed it. I've never thought of myself as a salesperson. I've thought of myself as a real estate therapist more often than not.
I love it. Well, I think that goes back to your giving heart. You know, you came into this, the original industry in nursing. And we all know, you know, it takes a giving heart to be in that line of work. You know, you're there helping comfort people in their time of need. And that translates great over into real estate, because that's exactly what you're doing over here. But the benefit to this one is when you get done, you get a home at the end. And, and that's because Colleen's going to lead you there. So I love that.
Well, and I used to say there was no bleeding in real estate, and then the market crashed in 08. I kind of had to pull back on that. But yeah, people are just as stressed, and there's so much going on, and there's so many different reasons that they're making a move that I've just learned that I'm lucky for my background. And I truly believe that you can, there's so many different kinds of people that can be successful in this business.
That's true.
But I think if you really care about the people you're serving, you might last a little longer and get a little bit more satisfaction out of this line of work.
Hey, Colleen, we know, but our audience probably wants to know, how long have you been in the business? Real estate.
35 years.
You've seen some cycles in this business, huh?
I it's like 160 years in real life.
Yeah, it's like dog years, right, when you're talking about working in the industry.
Right. So when I started, I think interest rates were around 12%, mm-hmm. and I thought that was normal because that's what they were. So I was in that market. Then I was, the lead up to 2006 and 2007. And then there were times in 2009 maybe where I was carrying almost 100 listings. Wow. And I really felt like I needed to communicate directly with every one of them every week. Yeah. And that was more than painful. And now we're in the totally opposite market.
Different market.
And it is totally different. And so I've really decided, I've become somebody that I just really like to watch how people around me react to change. Because everything changes all the time.
It does.
And the people that resist the market that used to be this and the market that's going to be that, or this technology, or this is how we do it. I'm fascinated that some people just embrace it and they're like, well, that's the way it is now. And other people are at the coffee pot screaming and yelling and having to, right? You know,
you mentioned something, you've got some history in this industry and you've seen the transitions a lot. And, the one question that I have to ask you is, over the time, how often have you seen markets where homes aren't worth more year after year? How often does that happen?
Well, in 08, don't you remember? We're going to have a V-shaped recovery. Yep. Then we were going to have a W-shaped recovery, and then we were going to have a sawtooth recovery, and that's really what it ended up being. But there were, I'd probably say in 35 years, I would say that at least 8 of those, I was glad to get people out whole, regardless of how long they'd been in their house.
But over the period of time, traditionally, what you've seen, because out of 35, 8 were tough years. You've seen growth in values of home, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing to me when I look back, and I know I was selling a home for, $70,000 that is now $250,000.
Absolutely.
Or I'm selling a home that was $400,000 and now it's worth almost $1 million. And that's not over that much time.
No, it's not. It's not.
Really,
and that's
something.
Why I brought it up, because, this market's been difficult for a lot of homeowners to make a decision. And there's a lot of misinformed information out there, as we know, right, as industry professionals. But one thing that over the historic time in this industry, market values increase. And so the consumers that purchase now always reap the rewards of the home improving in value, right?
And they have a place to live. So it's kind of a win-win.
Equity is going to be there. You know, you mentioned it, $400,000 to $1 million, $70,000 to $250,000. And what I'm thinking about here is the homeowner out there that's, or non-homeowner out there that's renting, that's afraid to dip their toe in the market because the interest rates are slightly inflated over they were a few years ago, which was fantasy land, right? You've been in this industry for 35 years. Have you ever seen rates in the twos before?
No, and I may never see them again. Yeah. In fact, the first house I bought, when people are whining about the interest, they don't whine, but they're not happy with the interest rate right now. The first house I bought was at 15%. My first home was at 15%. So when I've got somebody worrying about 6 or 7, and when I started in real estate, it was 12, I'm like, we're kind of almost back to normal.
That's it.
You know, a good normal for interest rates now.
Well, for me, it is back to normal because I got in the industry in 2002 and a normal interest rate, which was a refinance boom, was 6.5, right? Wow. People are ecstatic and we saw 5s and everybody got even really, really more excited, right? And then eventually we leveled back off and, you know, we've moved around a little bit, but traditionally rates have been in the 6s and 7s over the last decade, right? So, you know, what we saw a few years ago, it was definitely a fantasy land. But you mentioned something else about, you know, some of the agents around the coffee pot talking about how things aren't great. Great. And one of the reasons we picked to bring you onto the show is because we like to talk about how you can have great success in any market, and you're still having great success. You may have had other years that were bigger, but at the end of the day, we've seen your report card. You're absolutely killing it, right? So we know you're not the one by the coffee pot squawking, but what is the difference between why you're still having success and others are not?
Well, I am blessed with an awfully big pile of past clients that I rely on for a lot of business, and that somebody that's new in the business will not have that. So I rely a lot on that. But it's almost like the harder it gets, the more you have to put into it. You can't just sit back and complain. If the market's getting soft, I just take a deep breath and I'm on a bigger spend and I'm doing more things. Yeah. And I'm first in and last out at the office, especially when it's like that. So
you pour into the business. You pour into the business, and we get what we pour into it, right? We get the results from what we are willing to pour in. And you mentioned it too. You've got a great big sphere of influence, the people that you've worked with, and they know, like, and trust you because of the experience that they have with you over the years. And those resources are great. I assume you're doing a lot of things going back to those consumers, you know, to potentially bring some new business in, right?
Well, you know, and I've shifted in some ways. Like, we do a big thing where we give away pies right before Thanksgiving, but it's a madhouse. I'm like throwing pies at 400. It's and I would love to sit and visit with every one of them. Yeah. So my team and I sat down at the beginning of this year and said, what if we did a whole bunch of, we have to keep doing pies because they start asking about them in September. But what
tradition.
if we broke things down and we did some things in smaller groups where we could have some quality time with some of our quality people. And just a couple of weeks ago, I took a whole bunch of people to a place called Kitchen Social and we all made dinner together. Now, we could bring our own beverages and that helped make it more fun. But oh my gosh, we had really, it would have been the equivalent of 12 different families that we had high touch and had so much fun. And we already have business off of that. And we enjoy it too. I mean, I'm so old, I want to like what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
Every minute of every day. So if I can do things with those clients that I care about have some fun doing it, that's kind of a little bit of a shift we've made this year.
Cool. Hey, Colleen, I got a couple questions for you. So for some of our real estate watchers, viewers that are sports fans, how big of a St. Louis Cardinal fan are you?
I am such a big Cardinal fan. I remember sitting on my grandfather's lap when Orlando Cepeda was in with the Cardinals, which you probably before you were born. But this is a great sports town, and right now, wow, we're really big on soccer too.
Oh, wow.
Brand new soccer park, and it is a blast. And the Blues are kind of like, you know, how everybody used to feel sorry for the Cubs. And maybe still do. Well, our Blues kind of come and go like that, but it's a great sports town.
Awesome.
It really is.
Well, let's talk about St. Louis a little bit too, right? Because some of our viewers may not get out to St. Louis often. You got a lot to offer out there in the St. Louis city. What's the vibe like out there? What do you guys do in St. Louis?
I think we have really poor self-esteem for what this town has to offer, because we have a world-class, probably the second best zoo in the country. We have Forest Park, which is like Central Park, only bigger, right in the middle of the city. We have a world-class botanical garden, the museums, the art, the theater. Everything is amazing. We have little places too. I'm going to a Queen thing this week at a place called The Factory in Chesterfield Valley. So there's a lot going on. And this is how St. Louis is. We don't have a lot of incoming relocation. We are not growing a lot. We rely on each other. We being real estate agents rely on everybody just trading places, and that's how we make a living. But when we do have incoming relocation, I recall I've had incoming spouses, we call them trailing spouses, that come to St. Louis kicking and screaming because they're coming away from their family, first move, and they're coming to St. Louis, and they just and they're just mad and disappointed, and we get them in a house, and a year later, 2 years later, they'll never leave. They love this town. Yeah. It is really, we're our own best kept secret, and it's a great place to raise a family, and there's a lot of fun to do within an hour or two up here with the Lake of the Ozarks. Not the same as the Ozark, the little mini series, but there's a lot to do in this town, a lot, and I think March 1st trout season opened up too, so I'll probably be there shortly.
Sounds amazing. It sounds a little bit like Dallas, and man, obviously we're here and we love our Metroplex as well, but man, it sounds like it's amazing place. I'm gonna have to take a little trip up there, Dave.
Great people too. You know, that's one thing, a little unsecret about the Midwest. Really great people. People that are genuine and actually care.
Yeah. And you can definitely tell that with Colleen. So here's a second question. So, you and I have talked previously, and there's typically two types of realtors that we all come across. One that's, transactionally based, that, just trying to knock out as many units as possible to try to, make as much money as possible. And then we have, the realtors that are the relationship type realtors that, do a lot of hand holding and walk people through every situation and try to, foresee, problems before they arise. And we know you are one of those relationship type realtors. So, tell me about, some of the families that you've helped along the way. And now I think we talked and you're like on, third, fourth, and maybe fifth generation of helping, the same family answer the same questions and realize, the real estate dreams.
Right. I mean, I have a young family that I sold a house to recently. The first time I met her, she was in a diaper, and I was playing softball with her mom a million years ago. But when we were looking at who to bring on to that little cooking thing, and we were like amazed at how many people between them and their family and friends. We've done upwards of 10 transactions over the year. And I remember a long time ago in my career, a speaker or something said, look at every transaction as an opportunity for 10 more transactions over the life of your relationship with that person. And I really see that. It's almost like I'm a Girl Scout and there's this little song, make new friends, but keep the old. I think the more transactional folks are making new friends over and over and over again. And we're just staying tight with our old friends.
Well, what we know, Colleen, is people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And there's absolutely no question as to whether they know you, whether they like you, and whether they trust you.
Thanks.
And that's one of the special things you bring to the table. And while some of those other folks are squawking at the coffee machine, right, you're over here creating opportunities by getting in front of the people that know, like, and trust you, having great experiences. And, at the end of the day, the business just comes along with it.
Yeah, there's trial and tribulation along the way. We do so much business. We're always going to have somebody that tests us a little bit. But I tell my team as soon as we get closed and we're like, oh, thank goodness. I'm like, just wait, there's another one coming. because that person makes us better. I always say that the more difficult transactions really make us better. And if nothing else, if it's really difficult, I'm like, step back, disassociate, and just practice on them. Maybe you'll find something that will make them smile. Keep trying.
it's funny you mentioned that. I literally listened to a podcast with one of my mortgage mentors just the other day, and he said the exact same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He said the tough the tough ones, the ones that we walk away from and go, man, that hurt a little bit. Those are the ones that help us grow and become better at what we do. And, you know, it's a learning experience. And when you look at it from that point of view, sometimes the worst ones are the best ones.
And they end up being your best referrals, referrers too.
That's
you know,
wild.
maybe they're miserable all the time and we got them to crack a smile. But some of the people that I thought were very difficult are my biggest fans. It's really interesting how that kind of works out.
Hey, Colleen, I'm curious. We always ask a question to our guests. With you being in the business 35 years, what's the one transaction that means the most to you? Because I know there's several, but I want that one.
There's so many.
I know.
But we want
one that you go back to and go.
You go back. This is why I'm in real estate. This is the reason why I left nursing, or this reason why I do what I do today.
Well, and I just saw, I say I saw this woman, but I was bumping around with her on Facebook and she was paying me a nice compliment. But I had a lady, I walked into her house and she needed to sell her house. I think she'd been on the market with somebody else and hadn't sold. And I went in and I sat down and she hardly could look at me and she seemed like she was frozen and the phone was ringing and I said, do you want to get that? And she said, no, that's my boyfriend, Bill. And I looked at her and she said, Bill Collector. You know, she was in big trouble. She had recently been divorced. And this is so sad to say, but her ex-husband had killed himself after the divorce. There was just so much going on with this woman's situation. And I was able to get that house sold, get her into a little condo. And now the Fox Theater is our big theater down in the city. And she's retired and she's one of the ushers there. And I get to go in there and just hug on her every time I'm at the Fox. And she was nice enough recently. I put something on social media about National Compliment Day and that I wanted to compliment people if they just tell me they needed one. And she came on and said, I don't need one, but I have to tell you, you helped at the hardest point of my entire life. And that's I'm glad I could be there in some little way when she was going through so much. So
it's awesome. That's awesome. You almost brought me to tears with that one. So you keep talking about this awesome team of yours, and I want to hear a little bit more about them. So we know that you're absolutely amazing, but at the end of the day, there's always some behind the scenes folks, and I know you want to give them some recognition today. So let's get some recognition out there.
Well, the first would be Dan the Man. Dan Jimenez is my lead buyer agent. And I worry about him because he works so hard. And like me, I sometimes look at him and I'm like, you know, we're both really people pleasers and maybe we should learn how to say no once in a while. But he's fabulous. And then I have two other buyer agents. I have Andrea, who is just a blast and brings the most interesting. She brought some of her business with her, and they're the most interesting, fascinating people. And my third buyer agent, Stephanie Zimmerman, was a past client of mine. Oh, and wow. I sold her house years and years and years ago. And in fact, I sold that one. She bought another one. I think she's a 3 or 4 transaction client. And she had been an agent many years ago up in Chicago on a team. And one day she called me and she was like, I've been thinking I want to be back in real estate. And I was like, come on down, because she is my little angel with first time buyers, with people that need a little bit of love. She is magnificent. She's from the South, so she's got a little bit of that Southern love, and people just adore her. But most of all, there's Peggy Husky, who's my closing manager. And that woman, she's a vegetarian, and she meditates, and she does yoga, and she has to do all of those to cope with getting any contract from contract to close. She just is so calm. She has so many resources, and we get people. The closing is always, our goal is to always make it very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Climactic. And she's a soul. And they've all been with me a long time. When I'm on a listing call, I tell people that I try to work with people that are smarter than me, that have great big hearts and a lot of experience, because I don't like to train people. They should just be able to read my mind. And so I'm like, I want people to have a lot of smarts and a big heart. And then even smarts if there is hearts. A training issue or some how to do something, if they're smart and they've got big hearts, the rest kind of takes care of itself. And that's the way I've always worked.
Well, now it makes sense, right? There's the secret behind all the magic, you know, part of it's the database and, you know, the things that you do for the consumers and your caring heart, but you've got a team behind you that's understands your vision, knows what you want. And,
but I'm a systems freak, and they kind of that makes them roll their eyes a little bit. But I'm a little OCD, and I've got a system for everything, and they got to stick with it.
We call it sweat. Same way every time. Same way every time.
And the other thing is, little things are big things.
Yeah,
you know, they really are.
But you're right. Little things are big things, because you brought up the fact that you want your consumer to have that smooth and flawless closing to where it doesn't seem difficult to them, even though we know on the backside of things, there's a lot that goes into making these happen. If you're a professional and at the top of your game, and you and your team are, the consumer never gets to feel any of that. They have a great transaction, a great experience.
Yeah, I had a closing this morning, and the lady was like, I hope you felt like, she was asking me how the transaction was for me. And I was like, it doesn't matter how it was for me. The thing is, we want our sellers and our buyers to think it was easy.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day.
Yeah. You're like, I can't answer that question, but I hope you had an amazing experience.
That's right.
That's fantastic. I love that. Well, it's no wonder why she's having great success. Clint, brother, again, another amazing guest,
man.
Right? Clint, you know, he always knows how to track down the coolest people.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Well, we definitely thank you for, you know, you sharing your stories, and it's, man, it seems like a common theme, Devin and Dave, both. It's like the most successful agents in America, it doesn't matter where they are, where they conduct business. It seems like it's a very similar message. They truly care about the details, and more importantly, they care about the people that they help and the families that they help. Right.
There's no doubt about it.
Yep. So Colleen, I have a question for you. So as we shoot this podcast, it's March 8th, 2024. You know, we're coming out of the last 18 months of hell, I guess, in real estate, right?
Purgatory.
Purgatory, whatever you want to call it.
Mortgage rate purgatory.
Yeah. You've seen a lot of cycles, but it looks like we're coming out of the cycles, you know.
That's true.
February was the largest inventory that hit the market since 2020, which we all know what happened in 2020. And they're already saying, you know, the Feds are going to drop interest rates at least three times this year. So 2024 to 2026 are supposed to be the three really good years. What are you guys doing to prepare?
So, like I said, all of our systems, every November, we kind of pull everything apart and put it back together so we know we're ready.
That's great.
I do some geographic farming on top of working very closely with my SOI. So I hammer them January, February, March. And I'm old school maybe, but I'm doing a lot. I'm doing a lot of postcards, you know, whether it's a postcard that is talking about feedback that we've gotten from people. I'll just do their market. I split up and we did all the data for all these subdivisions and sent it specifically to everybody in that subdivision.
That's great.
Because you're right. Some people have been, the market's been tight because people don't want to give up their 2% interest rate.
That's right.
But sooner or later, that house is too big or too small or somebody's getting married or divorced. And those people are going to start moving on top of having favorable interest rates. So you just got to be out there. So
well, you just gave out some great secrets. I'm going to run that back real quick. You know, number one, you don't do spring cleaning, you do autumn cleaning. And I'm going to assume that's because, as I know, being from the Midwest myself, the winter months, it's a little cold up there in St. Louis. Not a lot of people are moving around. This gives you a great opportunity to look at your business from an outside perspective and say, what can we do to make sure we're ready for the new market? And then the beginning of the year, when things start warming up, you start warming those customers up by sending out postcards and making sure you're making connections with people right before summer, which is the buying season.
Exactly, exactly. And although I've always, I tell folks that spring starts early, because good market or bad, I've always felt like people wake up January 1st and go, let's buy a house.
Let's
and
move.
There's no inventory any year. And so the people that kind of happen to come on the market right then, it's like, whoop, that's, you know, even in a more normal market, that's where February is, where I would see multiple offers because nothing's on the market yet. So you want to get those folks right away.
Absolutely.
And get going in January. And on top of that, we do a lot of social media, yeah. But meaningful social media. There's so many ways that you can kind of get a package of drip, drip, drip social media. And I try to make it meaningful, and we do it ourselves.
That's great.
Once a week, schedule everything and get it out there.
Yeah. So. Well, you said one more thing there, and you know, you talked about the market in St. Louis before we jumped on in the green room, and you mentioned it's a low inventory market out there, right? Mm-hmm. You guys are struggling to keep up with market demand. And as the rates come down, there's going to be a bigger market demand, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, one thing we always like to talk about, especially, you know, in markets like yours where inventory is an issue, you know, for consumers that are out there that have been kind of waiting on the fence to decide what to do, even with rates coming down later in this year, it may be smarter to beat the race so that you can actually find a home and not have to negotiate and pay more money on it, right? Potentially refinance to get the great rate and the great purchase price, you know, later on down the road.
Well, I mean, my first house buying at 15%, if I would have waited for the rates to come down, yeah. I would have paid twice as much for my house, whereas I just refinanced a couple of times and got to stay where I was and lived happily ever after. So
that's right. So, you know, when you're out there thinking about, you know, who can I trust, right? Who can I trust to help me make an informed decision? A lot of people are leaning into programs like TikTok or Facebook or Insta, and they're not leaning into people that have a lot of experience being able to make those types of educated answers, right? So they're getting misinformed. But when you're talking to somebody like Colleen, who has multiple decades in the industry, who's seen multiple markets, and talking about the fact that we know homes will always tend to appreciate. And at the end of the day, this is what's going to happen, guys. So, you know, this isn't mortgage professionals trying to get you excited to get back in the house because we want to sell a house now. Yeah. We're just trying to give you guys some great advice so that you have the ability to make an informed decision. And at the end of the day, if you do get in soon, you're going to get a great price on your house. You still have the option to refinance, and you're not going to be in those lines paying extra to get the house that you don't want. And from what I hear, Colleen, from what you were saying, you guys already have multiple bids on homes there in St. Louis because of the low inventory.
Yeah, I just had last week I had 54 showings in 2 days and 11 offers, and I sold 15% over list. And I had 3 offers about 15% over list.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. The feedback from all of those 54 showings did not say I underpriced that house. I priced where the market said it was, but there's no inventory, and it just blew up from there. And I don't see that that's going to change very much. I feel like every time I put something on the market, I just have to buckle my seatbelt and be ready to work multiples on it, which is not bad at all. And when people say a low inventory market is awful, I'd rather have that and than have 90 listings that just sit there.
Absolutely. Well, I think you just said 54 showings last week. Girl, when do you get a chance to sleep?
I have a friend who always told me sleep is overrated. So I kind of worked on that theory. But I recently read something that if you don't get a lot of sleep, you're more prone to Alzheimer's. So I'm trying. I used to get up at 5:30. So now I try and stay in bed.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I used to get up at 5:30. That's in the morning.
Thank you. I'm a little slow these days.
So now I try and get up at 6:30. And
don't get your ideas, Devin.
And I got over the work thing at home, or, you know, that people are all, you're always working. Because somebody said once that work is life and life is work. And that's what it is.
And the other thing is,
that's why you got to do what you love.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's for you. It's probably not even work. Yeah. It's just your passion of what you really enjoy doing. And so for you, it doesn't even really seem like work for a majority of the time.
Yeah.
No, I like talking to people at like 11 o'clock at night.
For our last guest, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Right, Dave?
Yes, sir.
So, well, Colleen, we'd love to keep you here all day. You're super knowledgeable. Absolutely. Just an amazing person. I love the things that you're doing for your consumers, you know, taking them out and doing dinner together. Like, that's just a special, magical thing. I wish my last realtor would have done the same thing for me. You know, maybe I need to move to St. Louis to get some of that charm, right?
It may be a while before we can find a house, though. Apparently,
right? Yeah, can you get me in? Do you know somebody?
Can you put us on the waiting list, Colleen?
Yeah.
So, but you know, as much as we'd love to keep you here all day, we know you've got things to do. Is there anything we should have covered today or tackled that we did not?
Oh, you guys did a great job, and I just kind of blabbed on and on. I would say what I always say when somebody is asking me about the business, and that's that the very first broker that I worked for, Gordon Gundaker, always used to say, girls and boys, treat the customer right. And I still hear him saying that. And I still really believe that if you do that, real estate karma comes back in a good way, you know, and if you take care of people, the business will take care of you.
Little wisdom there from Colleen. I love it. It's absolutely 100% factual, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is an industry that will gift you year after year after year, as long as you're willing to give back.
Absolutely. But you can't you got to work.
You got to work. That's right. I love that. I love that. Well, Colleen, when the people out there want to find you, and we know that they do, how do they find Colleen and your team?
Let's see. I guess I'm happy to even give out my phone number, which is 314-852-1400. That's pretty easy.
It is.
And it's, my phone's right here. I always answer my phone. My email, the easiest one, they all land in the same place, is Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N, at colleenandteam.com. So.
I love it, Colleen. Well, and Colleen, we'll put that down in the lower thirds. It'll be in the description on the podcast. We want to make sure we're pointing people in the right direction, because we know they're going to be in very capable hands with you and your team. So, guys, if you need help in St. Louis and surrounding areas, this is the go-to. This is where you want to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Clint, brother, how about you, man? You know, we know you do some great things in lending.
Yep.
If the folks out there want to find you, how do they find you?
Man, probably, thanks, Devin. The easiest way to get a hold of me is you can go to www.theritchiemortgageteam.com, or you can always call me directly on my cell phone, 972-679-1028. That's right.
Yeah, see, we talk all the time. Yep. Yep. Clint and I have been in business together for over a decade now. So, yeah, this is a great guy, and he works in multiple states. So this isn't just in Dallas and Missouri, but pretty much all over the United States. If you need help with mortgage, him and his team, they do amazing things. And I kind of know that because we work together, right?
Correct. Thanks,
Kevin. So, well, guys, I think we've got a dream team here. You know, Colleen Lawler and the Lawler team out of St. Louis, Missouri, Clint Ritchie and the Ritchie Mortgage team, you know, both amazing opportunities for you if you're out there looking for amazing mortgage advice or great real estate advice in the industry. So, Dave, Clint, anything we need to say before we wrap up today?
I think we covered everything, Dave. You got anything?
Man, if you're looking for real estate in St. Louis, there's only one lady I'd call, Miss St. Louis. I'm going to start calling her
Miss St. Louis.
That's right.
I love it. I'm coming for one of those pies. Yeah. I am coming
all
for
right.
one.
I'll bring it to you.
Well, come on out. Come on out. Okay. We're always welcoming folks here in Dallas. We'd love to have you. We would.
Great town.
Well, great town. It is. So, well, guys and gals, I think if that's it, I'm Devin Dubuque.
I'm David Wynn.
And we're your real estate success partners. If you want to find us, come on over to realestatesuccesspartner.com. Or if you want to watch the video, we think you do, come on over to YouTube to the Dubuque team, and you'll be able to meet Colleen face-to-face, and you're going to want to meet her because she's absolutely epic. You know, comment if you like the podcast, make a review, and if you want to be a guest, call us. We'd love to have you here. So until the next time, we'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.